A pure devotee has no other interest than the interest of Krishna. A pure devotee is simply preoccupied how to pursue that interest of Krishna. He has no self-interest. Everyone in the world is filled with self-interest and thinking, how can I improve my conditions in life? How can I make sure that I don't get in trouble? And above all, how can I increase my enjoyment? And thus we dream. But Prabhupada's dreams were of a different nature, because Prabhupada's dreams were simply to push on Krishna consciousness. Prabhupada was not just a pure devotee, more than a pure devotee. A pure devotee is fully dedicated to Krishna. But then there are those that are chosen, for a particular work or mission. In 1980, I remember that Trivikram Maharaj came to Vrindavan, and he was, of course, one of the early sannyasis. He was already a sannyasi when the devotees first went to England, and he came there as a sannyasi to be part of the preaching. And he was therefore one of Prabhupada's intimate men, one of the men of the inner circle around Prabhupada, right? And so Trivikram Maharaj, he gave a lecture, and he said, lately I've been having doubts. So it's like, what kind of lecture is this? Imagine I would start my lecture with, instead of like describing a pure devotee, I start my lecture with, lately I am having doubts. So you'd all like, look, what's going on? He said, yes, lately I'm having doubts in Prabhupada. And we go, in Prabhupada? Not Trivikram Maharaj, you know what I mean? Not in Prabhupada, of all things in Prabhupada. He said, yes, lately, said, I am doubting whether Prabhupada actually went back to Godhead. Said, lately, I'm thinking that maybe he went to another universe to do it again. And that was the first time we ever heard that idea, that maybe Prabhupada went to another universe to do the same thing again. Another Tompkins Square Park, another 26 Second Avenue matchless gift storefront again. As soon as he said it, we were all thinking, well, it makes sense, because Prabhupada would never stop. He would not think, now it's done. His spiritual master told him, you must preach in the English language. And there had been devotees sent before to the Western world, but Prabhupada just took it like that order. He just filled it in like, you know, to beyond what his spiritual master asked. He did more. He did way more. And he just tried to deliver the whole world. So why not another universe? Then lately, I was with Kurma. Kurma, the cook. The famous cook from Australia. Everybody knows Kurma's cookbook. And if you know Kurma's cooking, what can I say? I know Kurma's cooking. It's ecstatic. So lately I was with Kurma, and Kurma, he said that some say that Prabhupada went to another universe to preach Krishna consciousness in that other universe, and others say that he went to the spiritual world. And again, others say that he did both. That he went to the spiritual world and that he also went to another universe. What do you think? I said, well, that last option is definitely the most satisfying to the heart. Huh? Yes, maybe that's how it is. Who knows? Who knows where Prabhupada is now? Who knows what he is doing? Srila Prabhupada, he wrote two letters about his spiritual master that I found interesting. And in the first letter he writes that my spiritual master has now entered into his Nitya Lila, into his eternal pastimes in the spiritual world as a Manjari. And then a little later he wrote a letter, although my spiritual master has now entered into his eternal Nitya Lila as a Manjari, I'm sure that he's still watching everything I do. Oh, can a devotee who's gone back to the spiritual world watch everything that's going on in the spiritual world? And if Srila Bhakti Siddhanta is watching, then surely Prabhupada is watching. He's certainly watching his ISKCON. Oh yes, there is no doubt. He's watching everything. Undoubtedly. In this way, we can appreciate that Prabhupada is not just present in Vani. There is Vapu and Vani, or the personal presence, the physical presence of the spiritual master, and Vani, his words, his instructions. And they say that after the departure of the spiritual master, it's the Vani, it's the instructions, his spoken word, that really becomes our main focus. But there is more. Prabhupada is still active. He is still doing things. Prabhupada is still present today in so many ways. That letter proves it, that he is still watching whatever we do. There's a story that at one point in the history of ISKCON, in one project in America, they went a little bit experimental and they gradually drifted away from Prabhupada's standards, and the relationship between ISKCON and that project became more and more strained, and at one point that project was outside of ISKCON, New Vrindavan. There in New Vrindavan is Prabhupada's Palace of Gold. So it is said that that palace attracted many tourists, and many buses would come and still come to see the palace, and it is very nice. It is a beautiful place with a nice lotus pond, very attractive. And then, so the tourists were in the palace and they were getting a tour. And then the tour guide was saying, and here is the marble floor, which was handmade by the devotees. And if you look in front of us, then here you see the statue of our founder, Acharya, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. And everyone took pictures and everyone looked, and he sits on a very nice Vyasasana and so on. And then one lady in the audience, she heard a voice. And the deep voice said, take my shoes. She's looking like, you know, who said that? Again, take my shoes. She's looking, you know. He says to take his shoes. So like, and he says, take my shoes. So what could she do? Then when all the tourists were just told, and if you look up to the ceiling, you see beautiful decorations and so that were handmade, and everyone click, click and looking. And then she just took the shoes and put them in her bag. She took them home, and these shoes, they were there for a long time. And the years went by. Anyway, the shoes had disappeared. So it was a big drama in New Vrindavan. Prabhupada's shoes had disappeared. They had one of these meetings where they said, "Dear Prabhus, we know that one of you has made a terrible mistake. It is a great, great offense. Very serious. And the reactions will be very, very strong. Stealing Prabhupada's shoes. But, this afternoon when there will be no one in the temple, if the shoes will just be put back, everything will be forgotten." The shoes never came back. Nobody ever knew who took the shoes. Then years later, somehow or other, I'm mixing too many things in my mind. Years later, what happened was that New Vrindavan reconciled the relationship with ISKCON and came back to Prabhupada's standards and again became part of ISKCON. Then, just then, shortly after that, that lady from the shoes, she had a dream. And in the dream, Prabhupada appeared before her and he said, "I have returned. Now you can give back the shoes." And she took the shoes and she put it in a box and she mailed it off to New Vrindavan. And then the shoes arrived. The missing shoes were back. Now, those who are a little bit familiar with deity worship, they know the significance of the shoes. For example, when the deities are very big, and when we put the deities to rest, we can't take the big deities off the altar and put them in a bed in the night. Although the deities do have a bed, right? But a small one wouldn't even fit, you know? So what they do is they just take the shoes of the deity and move them to the bed. And that means the deity has gone to the bed. That's one way of worshiping the deity. So the shoes are representing the personality. So when they had deviated, Prabhupada left for some time. And when they came back to Prabhupada's teachings, then Prabhupada came back. Just see how much Prabhupada is present in his murti, in his deity form, who is here with us tonight. Srila Prabhupada. Not just a statue, but actually Prabhupada is here in this form. Just that we remember, not just think, you know, like, oh yeah, no, Prabhupada is here. So that is something, a big point. I remember one of Srila Prabhupada's disciples, Madhudvisa. He has, last year he left his body, but Madhudvisa, I was kind of, well, spent some time with him in Australia, and Madhudvisa was like a very dynamic personality. Prabhupada sent him to Australia, and he was a sannyasi at the time, a young man, and he did tremendous things. He got a beautiful place, he organized a big Rath Yatra, and the chariot, there was a town hall, a Melbourne town hall, and it had a very big gate. And when the canopy was down, the chariot just could drive inside. So what he did, he drove the chariot into the town hall. And he had the canopy up inside the town hall next to Prabhupada's Vyasasan. And then Prabhupada gave a lecture in that hall with the Rath cart next to him inside. So it was really like something. I mean, Madhudvisa really did amazing things. Prabhupada liked him very much. One time, Madhudvisa, he went to Vrindavan, and Prabhupada was also there. And then he arranged that all the devotees would stand in front of the temple and on top of the temple, and that a photo would be taken with Prabhupada. So he got everybody in the group photo. Group photo, group photo. Okay, everybody. No, 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 no. You a little down, down. Yes, you up, up. Yes, yeah, the tall guys in the back. He organized it all, right? And then there was Prabhupada. And next to Prabhupada stood Brahmananda, you know, his close disciple, Sannyasi Brahmananda Swami, stood there right next to Prabhupada. And Madhudvisa behind the camera. But what he did, he put a timer on the camera, and then, you know, he just started it off, and then he ran forward, and he stood right in front of Madhudvisa, with a big smile. Right in front of Brahmananda, sorry, Madhudvisa stood right in front of Brahmananda, with a big smile. So then Brahmananda said, not too loud, so that Prabhupada wouldn't hear it, but in the ear of Madhudvisa, Madhudvisa, get out of here, Madhudvisa, get out of here. And Madhudvisa just stood there, big smile, waiting for the camera to flash. And then Brahmananda, who was very strong, he used to be a wrestler, was a huge man, right? Brahmananda pinched him in his back as hard as he could, right, with full force. But you look, you know, and Madhudvisa is standing there with a big smile, right? Right next to Prabhupada. So I went to Brahmananda one day and I asked Brahmananda, I said, Brahmananda, is this true that in this picture, you know, Madhudvisa just jumped in front of you? Brahmananda said, come on, you know, you think I would tolerate that? That he would stand in front of me? That, totally fabricated, you know. But you look at the picture. You look at the picture who's standing right next to Prabhupada. It's Madhudvisa. And who's behind him? It's Brahmananda. Anyway, so Madhudvisa did such a wonderful service. However, he was a young man and he'd taken sannyas at a young age and it got too much for him. So one day he sent his danda back to Prabhupada in the mail. And then Madhudvisa went away for some time. He went away. And later, he came back. So, many years later, Madhudvisa did a play in Sydney. And in this play, he is going to Vrindavan. Oh, he's very eager. I'm very eager to reach Vrindavan. Vrindavan. It's like, it's late at night. Vrindavan. You know, if somehow or other, I can still reach Vrindavan. If I can still reach Vrindavan this evening, Vrindavan, Vrindavan, that will be wonderful. And I might see Prabhupada. Anyway, after the long crazy drive over the crazy road, he came to Vrindavan. And just as he came to Vrindavan, he saw the light in Prabhupada's room is still on. The light in his room is still on. Maybe he's translating. Maybe he's speaking in the dictaphone right now in the night. And then in the back is tick, 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 tick. Ah, I think Prabhupada is translating. But then again, maybe I should not disturb him. Maybe I should only see him tomorrow. What's that noise? Tick, tick. What is that noise? They're building Prabhupada's Samadhi. Prabhupada's Samadhi? How is it possible they're building Prabhupada's Samadhi? The light in his room is still on? That's the end of the play. So thank you very much. Of course, Madhudvisa, when he did this play, did it much better than me. But he made that same point, that Prabhupada is still present, still with us, so much so. No, I want it back now. Hey. Go back in my lazy pose. Yes. So that is very much so. You know, I don't know how it happened, but nowadays, somehow or other, I became a spiritual master in the disciplic succession coming from Srila Prabhupada, right? Srila Prabhupada is number 32 and I'm number 34 in the line coming from Krishna somehow or other. So it's like, how did that happen? You know what I mean? 34. You know, you see lots of people with numbers on the shirt. I also have one, 34, you know. Like, I mean, but, and then yesterday we had initiations and I asked people to follow the four regulative principles and to chant 16 rounds. And on the strength of that, I can guarantee them that if they do so, that they will go back to Godhead. But who am I, you know? I mean, I'm a village pumpkin from Holland, right? What can I say? Nice and orange, but pumpkin nonetheless, you know? I mean, can't compare, right? Can't compare. Why not? Very simple. What have I done? What have I done for Krishna? And what has Prabhupada done for Krishna? I mean, if we go over the list of all the things Prabhupada did, so many temples, so many books, so many devotees, so many disciples initiated, so many important people met, you know, so many interviews, so many conversations. And if you think about it all, right, it's just so many scholars, so many dignitaries. It's endless, endless, endless. So much in such a short time, such an incredible quantity of work, such a contribution to the world. And therefore, we can understand that Prabhupada has purchased Krishna. We can understand that with all that he has done, that he holds Krishna in his hand, right? Whatever Prabhupada wants, Krishna will do. Right? That's how it is. And what is the proof of my statement? I'll prove it because Srila Prabhupada is saying in one lecture, he's speaking about Hiranyakasipu. Oh yes, remember that demon Hiranyakasipu who performed great austerities and then Lord Brahma finally appeared and he said, so what you want? Immortality. How can I give you what I don't have? Then ask some other boon. Okay. Hiranyakasipu thought he was very intelligent. All right, that I may not be killed by any weapon, that I may not be killed by any god or any demon, and he went over a whole list, that I may not be killed inside nor outside, nor in the day, nor in the night, nor on the earth, nor in the sky. He covered everything except on the lap of Nrisimhadev, except being killed by nails, except being killed at twilight, which is neither day or night, and it was not inside and not outside because it was in the doorway. So Lord Nrisimhadev upheld all the conditions of Hiranyakasipu. And Prabhupada said, yes, Rishi Uchu, when the saintly personality speaks, the Lord will uphold Rishi Uchu. And therefore, because Lord Brahma said it, he upheld it. And therefore, if the saintly person says, if you chant 16 rounds and follow four regulative principles, and you will go back to Godhead, then you must go, Prabhupada said in his lecture. Phew. That was pretty strong. Right? Strong evidence, I think so. If anybody has any doubt. Still doubt? No problem. We have Dinabandhu, very famous from Vrindavan, Parikrama, and finger-burning hot halva, and all these things which they are serving on the Parikramas in the winter. Oh, very nice. So you can go with Dinabandhu and see Vrindavan, and Dinabandhu can reveal so many aspects of the Dham to us. So Dinabandhu used to be the president of Portland in America, And Dina Bandhu said that Srila Prabhupada said, you know, that if you chant 16 rounds and follow four regulative principles, you will go back to Godhead. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. He says, Prabhupada said it three times. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. I guarantee it. It's in the memories, in the Prabhupada memories book. So, more evidence. So this evidence is there. Yes, Prabhupada has purchased Krishna by all his service, and therefore 16 rounds will do. Otherwise, in the Chaitanya Bhagavat, we find a reference that Lord Chaitanya said, I will not accept any offering from anyone who is not a lakpati. A lakpati means one who has 100,000. 100,000. So the brahmanas were not so rich 500 years ago that they had 100,000. But then, you know, so they say, oh, he will not accept an offering from anyone. But then Lord Chaitanya said, no, I mean one who chants 100,000 names a day, which is 64 rounds. That's where that magic number came from. 64 rounds. Whew, that's a lot of rounds. Eight. Normally at eight, you're at the midway stop, you know, and you take a little snack, right? But, you know, it's like when it's 64 at eight, you know, it's like only 56 to go. Okay. Rounds. Oh God, I deserve a vacation. That was hard work. No, really, you know, gosh, a medal I should get, you know. I tell you, a prize. Is someone going to recognize me for this? What am I chanting for, you know? Am I going to get some, you know? You know what I mean? Such an effort, and nobody knows. Nobody knows. Yes. Therefore, I've decided now that I'm going to chant 64 rounds every day to get new counting beats. And I don't have here the 16 beats on one side and the 4 on the other side. No.